Kayo'y nakikinig sa SBS Filipino.
Magandang araw, maraming salamat sa inyong pagtutok sa aming programa sa SBS Filipino. Hatid namin ang mga balita, impormasyon at mga kwento ng mga Pilipino saan man sa Australia. Ako po si Helen Quinanola. At ngayong umaga, tampok natin at pag-uusapan natin ang isang Filipino-Australian artist. Makakasama natin si Jenny Gigayoma na magbabahagi ng kanyang kaalaman at karanasan tungkol sa tampok na usapin. Good morning! Good day, Jen!
Good morning!
How are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So, Jen, you were born Filipino and you were raised in Perth, right?
Yes, I was born in Cebu, but we moved to Australia, to Perth, when I was like 1 year old. So I've been raised in Perth.
Mm. So what parts of your Filipino upbringing have remained most present in the person and performer you are today?
Oh, the karaoke. There was this restaurant that's now since been closed down in Perth called the Manila Restaurant. Mm. And it was where I had so many core memories of me as a child singing. I had this sparkly pink dress with tassels on it. And when I'd spin, it would fly out. And I would sing Dancing Queen by ABBA. That was my favorite song to sing. Wow. I sang it every time we went there. And then my second favorite song was Fame. I would always sing that. So karaoke is a huge thing. But of course, just the Filipino parties. I had a large group of Filipino friends when I lived in Perth that we're all still in touch to this day. Mm. So just a sense of community and music and always being there for each other.
Does your mom and our dad sing as well?
My dad loves to sing, but they're not in the music industry or anything. They just, you know, my mom loves to play songs and in the morning on the weekend. Ordinary Sunday morning is like blasting like any bands that she likes and things like that. Yeah.
So what memories or influences from the Philippines continue to shape you aside from, of course, karaoke?
Mm, from like in the Philippines?
Yeah.
I think because we used to go to the Philippines quite regularly, like almost every year, every second year, until COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And then we had to take a big break from traveling. But since then, I've gone back a couple times. And I think when I think of the Philippines, I think warm, I think like the sun, and I think just like, you know, family and large communities of people.
Connection.
Yeah, connection, yeah. Exactly. And I think that, you know, music and also the sense of like what has shaped me, the sense of belonging to other people and the fact that what you do is not just for yourself but mm-hmm. also for your family and for your family friends and representative of a bigger group of people. You know the Balikbayan box?
Yeah.
Yeah, like my mom loves a Balikbayan box. And I think it's such a beautiful tradition to mm-hmm. be everything that you, all of your hard work in this country is all for, you know, a large portion of it can be spent providing for your other, you know, for family, like you can reap your rewards for your family as well.
So, Jen, was performance already part of your family or childhood?
Not really for my family. I think I was definitely like the black sheep wanting it to take it seriously. The karaoke really struck something in me as a small child, but I don't think my parents ever expected me to really take it seriously until I was in high school and I started going, I want to take drama classes, I want to participate in all the school talent shows and things like that. My parents always wanted me to play piano. I played piano for a bit growing up, but yeah, it was very regular until I started taking it seriously.
So when did performing change you from something you enjoyed into something you believe you become your profession?
Oh, that's a good question. Pursuing this profession was always such a faraway thing. It was so... Perth, you're so much less connected with theatre and shows and things going on, as well as being from an immigrant background. It's just pursuing a creative career is so much not on the cards. And so, yeah, in high school, it was very much when I wanted to take drama classes for my final ATAR years of year 11 and year 12, it was definitely a big conversation as to why I wanted to take that into my final years of high school. But I would say it was my year 12 musical. I played Sandy in Greece. And I just loved that experience so much. And I think my parents saw me really love it. And then, I think that was when I was like, I really want to do this as a job.
So what did musical theater training teach you that acting training could not, and vice versa?
Ooh, Musical theater training is very fast. Like, you have to pick things up very fast and move on. Whereas acting training is a lot more introspective. You slow down, you look at the text, and you have to figure out, to mine all the subtext of what a line could mean.
Mm.
Whereas musical theater is like, let's get the beats, let's get the rhythm, because that's what makes it funny. That's what makes the scene work. So I think having experience in both of those things have been just actually amazing for being able to look at a variety of material and understand a variety of material. Yeah.
You graduated from NIDA?
Yes, NIDA.
NIDA. Already making your Hayes Theatre main stage debut.
Yeah.
As Wednesday Addams. So what did that opportunity mean to you personally?
Oh my gosh, it meant a lot. I did a couple of things at the Hayes in drama school as part of just like festivals. So I would do like a one-day workshop, or I'd do, just a showing of a concert or something. And I really loved the people at the Hayes and how everyone there was just so passionate about what they did. And when I saw the Addams Family was on, I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to work at the Hayes and I would love to play Wednesday Addams. And yeah, when I got her, I was, and the fact that Marcus is in it, who's Filipino, and that wanted to,
So you auditioned for that?
Yeah.
So how many girls are auditioned for that role particularly?
Oh gosh, I don't know, probably hundreds.
Really?
Maybe. I'm not sure. There's the first round is self-tape, so pretty much anyone can send in a self-tape. Yeah. So I assume probably like at least 100.
Wow. And out of those 100, you got it.
Yeah. It means a lot. And also the fact that Marcus is playing my dad and just having like a real connection to another Filipino on stage has just meant a lot to me.
So Wednesday Addams has been interpreted by many performers across television, film, and theater. How did you make such an iconic character distinctly your own?
Yeah. Well, I think the direction of the director, Julia, has such a vision for the show that it was quite easy to figure out. She just has such a vision for the show that was different from all of the other iterations. So I think I tried to avoid watching anything about the Addams Family until quite far into the process, where then I was able to construct my own character because we were already so deep into the process that I would watch other iterations of Addams Family and be like, that's not our one. That's not the one that Julia's led. That's not the Wednesday that I would give in relation to our Pugsley. Our Pugsley is a girl, which is not how it's been traditionally done. The dad is this specific way and the mum is this specific way. It's just like it all comes together just because of the variety of these distinct people that all inform the way I've done mine.
So the excitement comes first, or did the pressure and imposter syndrome arrive with it?
Excitement came first.
Okay.
Excitement came first for sure. I didn't really feel the imposter syndrome until we were about to open, actually. Yeah. It was when I didn't feel any pressure from, because the whole team was so lovely. I didn't feel any pressure at all until we were about to go on stage for the first time. And I was like, oh my gosh, people are going to see me and they are going to judge me. And I forgot about that aspect of it just because the process had been so wonderful. But yeah, I think just after a couple of the shows and just really settling into it, I was like, well, I'm here. So I can't be an imposter if I'm here. Yeah, enjoy the moment.
And you mentioned earlier that you've been working with Marcus Rivera, who plays your father, Gomez, right? Mm. So what has it meant to share that stage and family dynamic with another Filipino performer? Yeah. What's the experience?
Oh, it's just amazing. Like, it's amazing. And not only just Marcus, it's also the fact that there are so many other Asian people in the cast. There's a Cambodian, Korean, Chinese. Like, it's just so wonderful to be part of such a diverse cast and to not feel different for that. I just feel so accepted for who I am. Mm-hmm. And it makes the father-daughter dynamic so much more special because I do see similarities between Marcus as Gomez and my own real dad who came to see the show.
Yeah.
Playing the peacemaker between the mom and the daughter, like, you know, being the happy.
And I can
the
feel
happy
the connection
glue.
When I was watching it.
Yeah.
I could really feel it. You really, really did a good job.
Oh, thank you.
So can you say that your shared cultural background create an immediate connection with them?
With Marcus? Or
with everyone as well?
Yeah, I would say so. I think a lot of us in this industry have gone through a lot of the same struggles of feeling different, of feeling like maybe we don't belong, or, yeah, like those two are kind of very big ones. And so because of that, I think there's a shared understanding whenever you see another performer of color in a same room as you and go, yeah, we've kind of probably been through the same things to have gotten to this point.
So what have you learned from working alongside established performers such as Marcus Rivera and Erica Haynett?
Oh, they are both so amazing. They just hold the show so well. They're just such professionals day in, day out. They're so positive. They're so professional. They have such a wonderful mindset. I think maybe the biggest thing is that you just have to keep trucking on and find the love. Like every night, just find the love for the performance, no matter how many times you do it, how hard it gets.
So is there a particular piece of advice or professional habit you will carry into the future productions?
Mindset, I believe, is going to be a big one. I think Erica and Marcus have been so wonderful at being such a positive. They are the leads of the show, and they are also the leaders of us as a cast, and they have had such wonderful positive mindsets the whole process. And I think that really, because coming out of drama school is tough. And so a lot of us students are clinging to each other. We're tired. We're complaining. But then just seeing Erica and Marcus just breeze through it, even though it's not a breeze at all, just is so inspiring.
What happens backstage that audiences rarely see?
tripping over each other a lot. The haze is so small, and so the backstage is so small, and it's just us bumping into each other all the time and then going, sorry. Like, just whisper sorry, because, like, you know, we can't be loud for the audience. So yeah, I would say that would be an entertaining watch.
Okay. So after Wednesday Addams, you will step into the role of Matty in We Are the Tigers. So what excites you about moving between two very different characters and theatrical worlds?
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I live for as an actor, to play different characters and to experience different stories and psyches. Matty is such a sweet, innocent girl.
Very opposite.
Yeah, very opposite Wednesday. But I think in my head, they would be unlikely friends. Just how Wednesday and Lucas is an unlikely couple. Matty is kind of Lucas in a way. She's just sweet, you know. And that's just very exciting to me.
So can you tell us more about this, your upcoming show, We Are the Tigers?
We Are the Tigers. It is a dark comedy that follows a group of cheerleaders following their annual sleepover, where there is a murder. And it's kind of a murder mystery. We have to figure out who it is. And each girl has their own sort of story around this murder and also around their time in the cheerleading team squad.
So what will audiences see from you in this role that they may not see in Wednesday, in this new character of you?
A lot more sweetness and kindness, perhaps. But I also think Wednesday has her own special type of sweetness. But Matty she's hilarious. She's so funny. I don't want to spoil anything by saying what happens to her, but something very funny and crazy does happen to her, and she has a very big moment about it. But I would say, like, I'm just excited for audiences to see such a girl-centered show. It's just a bunch of girls. There's two boys in the whole cast, and there's about 16 of us. And just to see a bunch of girls just belt out our voices and just sing these amazing songs and just have so much fun and dance and be a cheerleading squad.
So, Jen, what does that goal mean to you beyond simply being visible? Like, your NIDA profile speaks about your ambition to be a Filipino face on stages and screens worldwide. So what does that goal mean to you?
The goal means a lot, lots of different things. Obviously, personally, like, that is my ambition, to just create a career for myself, just for me personally. But then I also acknowledge and I feel the fact that my career also means something for other people, regardless of whether I directly know them or not. Because Leah Salonga and Eva Noblezada have really paved the way for Filipinos in musical theatre. They were the reason I thought I could ever do this, you know? So I haven't seen that many faces or profiles like that on screen. So I think like that's a huge thing for me. Seeing Filipino faces on screen is huge for me. But also, and continuing to see Filipino faces on stage and continuing that legacy that I feel like Leah Salonga has really like pioneered, because music is such a huge part of our community and our culture. And theater as well is so warm and loving and inclusive. And I feel like that's everything Filipinos are. So it just feels right that there should be more and more of us in the industry.
So do you feel like more of responsibility added into you because of this or of someone who looks like them performing on a major Australian stage?
Yes and no. I'm aware that there is a responsibility, but I don't feel like it's a burden at all. It doesn't feel heavy, because another reason is because I'm not the only one.
Yeah.
There's so many of us and we're all achieving wonderful things. There's Marcus, there's Jordy, there's so many people.
Culturally diverse performers are becoming more visible on stage, but culturally diverse communities are not always equally visible in theater audiences. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I totally agree. My parents would never watch a theater show if I wasn't in it. before. it's not as popular in other sort of demographics. But I think that's also because of the fact that there's not so many of us on stage. It's just not a regular thing that we talk about. I always talk about how in London, musical theatre is just part of the everyday conversation. People just talk about it because it's so normalised. Households just love to go see it. And I don't know. I'm not sure what to do about that, but something should be done.
All right. Lastly, Jen, message or advice that you can give, especially to young Filipino Australians who are aspiring to become like you someday.
Oh, gosh. Okay. My advice to anyone who wants to be like me is to be yourself, because I'm still figuring out how to be me. But if you know what you love, then you just keep doing it every day and just don't give up.
Muling mapapakinggan ang panayam na ito bilang podcast sa aming website sa sbs.com.au/Filipino, SBS Audio app at iba pang podcast streaming platform, at mapapanood sa SBS Filipino YouTube channel. Maraming salamat sa inyong pag-antabay sa aming usapan. Hanggang sa susunod na kwento at talakayan. Ako si Helen Quinonola para sa SBS Filipino.
I-like, i-share, mag-comment, sundan ang SBS Filipino sa Facebook.